taking in the minnow that has developed in our communities, that when we have davening during Chol HaMoed, invariably, in virtually every single shul, you'll see some people wearing tefillin, some people not wearing tefillin, and it seems like a tremendous lack of cohesion, especially as we're coming off of the Yom Kippur season, and we're speaking about the Mila, all coming together, and especially during Sukkot, we're shaping the Arba Minim, each one stands for a different type of Jew, that we're supposed to epitomize Achdus during this period of time, and yet nothing could be further, it seems, from this ideal of Achdus than just observing these disparate practices where there doesn't seem to be any uniformity whatsoever. And I want to explore a little bit where this dispute comes from, as to whether you wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed or you don't wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, and some of the halakhic underpinnings and the Kabbalistic underpinnings as well, and why it is that it doesn't bother us that people do different things, even though we know that we have a general principle of los hiskodidu, los asu adudot adudot. You're not supposed to have different practices within one shul, some people doing one way and other people doing another way. So what is this all about? The truth of the matter is that it might be useful to skip at the very beginning to the bottom line, because there's so much interesting discussion before you get to the bottom line. I'm afraid of not getting to the bottom line altogether. So it's just good to know what's the psak in the Shulchan Aruch. It's actually a machlokis between the Mechaber and the Ramah. If you take a look in source Yud Gimel on your sheets, so the Mechaber says, Shabbos and Yom Tov asur laniach tefillin. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's forbidden to wear tefillin. Asur is a peculiar word over here, because the Gemara, which seems to indicate that asur belongs to one opinion as opposed to a secondary opinion, and we generally assume that we possibly like the second opinion and not the first opinion. There's a machlokis in the Gemara that's brought in the Gemara Menachos Daf Lamed Vav. That's the first source. Between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, as to how it is that we know that we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that we learn from the pasuk in Parshas Bo, "B'shemata sechukat zosim adam yamim yamima," that the Torah at the end of Parshas Bo speaks about the chukah of building, of bringing a korban pesach, and also speaks about the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. And then has a pasuk that says you should keep this law yamim yamima, and it's not entirely clear. Is this pasuk talking about the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, or is this mitzvah talking about the bringing of the korban pesach? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili assumes that it's speaking about the mitzvah of wearing tefillin, and Miyamim Yamima teaches me that it's only during the daytime. Yamim below leilos, it's an exclusion. You only wear the tefillin during the day and not at night. And Miyamim below kol yamim, only the regular days, but not days that are sort of special days on the calendar, Prat l'Shabbos v'Yamim Tovim, extraordinary days like Shabbos and Yom Tov are excluded from the mitzvah of tefillin. For Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it might be appropriate to utilize the lashon of aser with respect to wearing tefillin on a Shabbos and Yom Tov. Rabbi Akiva, however, says, this pasuk is not speaking about the mitzvah of wearing tefillin at all. It's speaking about the mitzvah of bringing a korban pesach. So Rabbi Akiva says, how is it then that I know that you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? A totally separate pasuk, because the Torah says with respect to tefillin, that tefillin is described as an os. V'ayala osa yadchala totapos beninecha, mishetzrichen os yatsu shabbos yamitom shen gufan os. That you only wear tefillin on those days in which you need an os, you need to display some special sign of connection with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, that you already have an os, you already have a connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, they're already called an os, so then there's no need to wear tefillin. According to Rabbi Akiva's formulation, it wouldn't appear to be an issur, it wouldn't appear to be a prohibition, per se. It's just that, in fact, that you can wear tefillin the way that we paskin, as long as you're not doing it for the mitzvah. You don't do it for the mitzvah because you don't need the os, but let's say you're wearing tefillin for some other purpose, l'shmua min ha-mezikin, in order to drive out destructive spiritual forces, you decided you're going to put on tefillin Shabbos and Yom Tov, be perfectly permissible, according to Rabbi Akiva. Also wouldn't appear to be the right word. Now, there's an afkamina between b'dishita Rabbi Yossi Abdili Rabbi Akiva, in terms of wearing tefillin at night. If you say the words miyamim yamima are speaking about the mitzvah of tefillin, like Rabbi Yossi Abdili says, so then you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night. According to Rabbi Akiva, nighttime has nothing to do with an os. It's nothing to do with any special sign. So there's no pasuk like Shabbos. It says that peiniu bein bnei Yisrael osi li'olam. You know, Shabbos is an os. Yontiv is folded up into Shabbos. It's like a Shabbos, so therefore it's included in the os of Shabbos. But Laila has nothing to do with os. There's no nothing special about night as opposed to today in terms of the special nature of that time frame. So according to Rabbi Akiva, technically a person could wear tefillin at night. It's just that when it's man shena, when it's time to go to sleep, so then you shouldn't be wearing tefillin because maybe you'll fall asleep in the tefillin and maybe you'll pass gas and it won't be respectful to the tefillin. So that's why you don't wear the tefillin at night. So we paskin basically like Rabbi Akiva. That's the only reason why we don't wear tefillin at night is because we're afraid that you're going to sleep with the tefillin on. And there's a shuva by Rav Moshe that speaks about somebody who has to leave for work very early in the morning. They're clearly not going back to sleep. It might be the only time they're going to be able to wear tefillin. So he says that really it could be makel in such a case to put on tefillin, even though it's still nighttime. So we don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And therefore, the lashon of aser here in the Mechaber seems a little bit peculiar. Really, we should just say that Laila, that Shabbat Shabbos and Yontif are not considered to be Zman Tefillin. So you don't wear Tefillin for mitzvah purposes. If you wear Tefillin, it would be for other purposes, but not for mitzvah purposes. So the Lashon already is curious that the Mechaber uses when the Mechaber says, Aser Lehaniach Tefillin. So that's number one. In fact, if you take a look at source Yud, the Torah, when the Torah quotes this halacha with respect to Shabbos and Yontif, so the Torah says, Shabbos and Yontif, Lav Zman Tefillin. The Torah doesn't use the Lashon of Aser. It doesn't use the Lashon of that it's prohibited to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yantiv. It just says Shabbos and Yantiv is not considered to be a Zman tefillin. It's not a normal normative time in which a person would wear tefillin, and that's consistent with the view of Rabbi Akiva. In fact, elsewhere in Hilchos Tefillin, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva with respect to another halacha, because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, when you would take off your tefillin before it's nighttime, so you're being mekayem the mitzvah miyamim yamima, only wearing the mitzvah during the daytime and not nighttime, so you would make a bracha, there'd be a special bracha that would be recited at the time of taking off the tefillin right before nighttime. But we don't make that bracha. We don't make that bracha. And if you take a look in source Kaf, the Shulchan Aruch olakayim for tefillin simen chaktes, so the Mechaber in fact says, Ey Lavarek, this is the Mechaber himself. So the Shulchan Aruch himself says that we don't pass them like Rabbi Yossi and Lili. Ein levarach shum bracha kishechol et tefillin. We don't make any bracha when we take off the tefillin. Apilu kishechol some erev Shabbos v'enash mashos. Even if you're taking off the tefillin in a way that is mekayim the pasuk according to Rabbi Yossi and Lili in two different ways. You're taking it off because it's right before Shabbos, so yamim yamima and not Shabbos, and you're taking it off because it's Friday afternoon, it's right before nighttime. So even Erev Shabbos Manish Mashas, even when you're Mekayim both of the Inyanim, but taking it off in order not to wear it at night, and taking it off not to wear it on Shabbos, you still do not make the bracha. And if you take a look at the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says that if you look in the Beis Yosef, this is Soros Chaf Aleph, says the Beis Yosef, if you look over there, you'll see, Hatam da ain Issel on Yikam B'Shabbos. Because technically speaking, there really is no issa. We paskin, there is no intrinsic prohibition against wearing the tefillin on Shabbos. Ela mishum shema yetzer and l'mishu sarabim. We're just worried you're going to go out to the mishu sarabim with the tefillin. So we say that it's appropriate in most circumstances that you shouldn't put on the tefillin on Shabbos. But the Magen Avraham points out that this appears to be contrary to the psak of the Shulchan Aruch here. At the beginning of Siman Lamin Aleph in source Yud Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch says Aser lehaniach tefillin, that is actually an Iser lehaniach tefillin. So, what then is the explanation? So, you figure that the explanation that the Mechaber would give is, oh, maybe with Hoshesh, we're concerned about the Shita of Rabbi Yossi at Lili, that maybe there's a real Iser, but that's not what he says. Shulchan Aruch says, let's continue in source Yud Gimel, Bnei Shem Atzmam Os, because they themselves are considered to be an Os. The tefillin themselves constitute an os. It says, "V'ha'yel os
Ayatcha, that is considered to be an os. Kshatem laos ayatchem, it's considered to be an os. V'manitem v'hem os acher, hayazilzul le'os asher lahem. And if you would put on another os, if you would add or superimpose the os of tefillin upon the os of Shabbos, because Shabbos is an os based on osi le'olam, and you would superimpose the os of tefillin upon that os. Let me just back up. B'nei shem atzma os is going on Shabbos and Yantiv. And if you would superimpose the os of tefillin, then it would be a zilzul, would be a denigration to the os of a Shabbos and Yantiv. So he's adding this issue, not that it's not necessary to add another os, but that there's a zilzul, there is a denigration of some sort. So the Machaber seems to be saying that there's a separate, standalone iser of wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yantiv, even according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's not based on a pasuk of miyamim yamima, just that you don't need to add another os on Shabbos and Yantiv by wearing the tefillin, but he says adds an iser, a prohibition that you don't find in the Torah, based on this notion of it being a denigration of the day of Shabbos and Yantiv. So that is the opinion of the Machaber. Now the Machaber goes further in Sif Beis. This is also in source Yud Gimel, and he says, "B'chol ha'moed gam kein asal aniach tefillin mi'atama zeh bi'atzmo." And b'chol ha'moed as well is prohibited to wear tefillin for this very reason. What's this very reason? The reason must be that number one, b'chol ha'moed is also considered to be an os. It's also considered to be some special sign of connection between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we don't need to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. And number two, that it's usher, because it would be a zilzul, it would be a denigration upon the special meaning and significance of Chol HaMoed if we would decide to don tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Now, where did the Machaber get this from? I understand, when it comes to Shabbos and Yantiv, you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yantiv either because of the reason of Rabbi Yossi of leaving Miyamim Yamima, or the reason of Rabbi Akiva that the osa ayatkami shitzrikan os yatsu shavasos viyavim tovim shehen gufan os. So I understand where the halakha comes from when we're speaking about Shabbos and Yantiv. But where does the halakha come from when we are speaking about Chol HaMoed? Does it say anywhere in the Gemara either that you do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, or that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So in three places in Shas, the Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Bab, and in Erevin Daf Tzadi Bab, and in Moed Katan Daf Yutes, Tosos points out, it doesn't say in the Gemara one way or another. But says Tosfos, that it's mistaber, it seems to stand to reason, it seems to be logical, that if Shabbos and Yantiv are considered to be an os, they are a time of special connection with the Kaddish Baruch, and therefore we don't get tefillin. The same should also be true with respect to Chol HaMoed, that Chol HaMoed is also, it's part of the Yantiv season. We already said Yantiv is folded up into Shabbos, just like we say that Shabbos is Osi Le'olam. Now what's special about Shabbos? Presumably it's the fact that there's an Issa Malacha, that there's an os in the fact that we're not allowed to do Malacha on Shabbos. It's the common denominator with Yantiv. The Yantiv as well, we're also not allowed to do melacha. So then, Tosfos says, oh, so we should extend this os to Chol HaMoed. But wait a second, says Tosfos, I have a problem with that. What's the problem that Tosfos has with that? It's a big machlokas we showed him as to whether melachas Chol HaMoed, the prohibition of doing melacha during Chol HaMoed, we know that there are exceptions. There are times you are allowed to do melacha during Chol HaMoed. If it's a davar ha'avad, if you need to do work in order to save yourself from an irretrievable loss, or if it's letzorech ha'moed, it's something which is necessary for the festival in many circumstances, then we do allow you to do malacha during Chol HaMoed. But otherwise, there is a prohibition, a general prohibition, against doing malacha during Chol HaMoed. Is that prohibition d'araisa, or is that prohibition d'rabbanon? That happens to be a big machlokas rishonim. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, saying that this is beginning of Maseches Moed Katan elsewhere, this is only an issa d'rabbanan. So Tosfos has a problem. How can Chol HaMoed be an os if the Issur Malacha on Chol HaMoed is not Deraisa, it's only Derabanan? With Deraisa, you can do any Malacha that you want. So therefore, that wouldn't constitute an os. So what does Tosus do? With that, take a look at Source of Base. Source Base, Tosus Menasefes Menachos Taflam and Bava Mebase. It says, Yartzu Shabbasis Yavantom Shikhet Atzman Kuyan Os. Tosus says, it can't be that the nature of the os is only that Shabbos and Yom Tov are also b'malacha. It must be that it's an os through the Kedusha Sayom, some other understanding, special nature. It's an exalted holy day. Has Kedusha. Lo mishum da'asivi basiyo basiyas malacha. Da'afidu cholo shomoed shishari basiyas malacha. Imen kol ha-moed, when mid'araisa, you could do malacha. Ika os. There's still an os. What's the os? V'pesach de'asa b'achilas chametz. V'sukkah s'tachaya v'sukkah. The Pesach, the entire Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. And the entire Sukkah is, if you eat a certain amount, so you're obligated, or whatever you do in your normal living, Siteshu Kein Taduru, you're obligated to eat in the Sukkah, so therefore there is a continuation of the Kedusha that began at the beginning of Pesach throughout Chol HaMoed, and the Kedusha that began at the beginning of Sukkot throughout the entirety of Sukkot. So Tosus seems to say that you wouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, even though there is, strictly speaking, no Isser Malacha. But then Tosus brings a kasha, because the Gemara Moed Katan talks about whether a person is allowed to write tefillin on Chol HaMoed itself. And the Gemara seems to draw a distinction between writing the tefillin for yourself and writing it for other people. And why would there be a distinction? So if you're writing it for yourself, maybe you need the tefillin right after Yontif is over, so it would be permissible. You're writing for other people, there's no Yontif need, you're just looking to make some money. Unless you have nothing to eat, we're not going to allow you to write tefillin, because there's clearly no Yontif need. There's clearly, there's no Yontif need with respect to other people. So why then are you allowed to write for yourself? So I could say that maybe you're going to leave the tefillin until after Chol HaMoed, or maybe you're going to wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed itself. So there really are two different ways of interpreting the Gemara Moed Katam. But Tosfos interprets the Gemara as saying that it must be that you are wearing tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Because if it's only to write the tefillin for it to be available right after the Yontif, Mali liatzmo, mali lacherim. What difference does it make whether you're writing for yourself or whether you're writing for other people? Lama muta liftov liatzmo, she'ein zet tzar parnasoso. Why would you be allowed to write for yourself when you don't have a need for the tefillin on Chol HaMoed itself? I understand not writing for other people to make a buck, but to write for yourself, you shouldn't be allowed to write for yourself either, says Tosfos, unless you need it, either for panasa purposes. We say you can write for other people for panasa purposes, or if we say it's not for panasa purposes, so why would you be allowed to write for yourself? It must be that it's because you're going to wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed itself. So Tosfos rejects the raya, saying that it could be that the shitos, the tanaim that are quoted there, hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin. If Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin because it's excluded from Miyamim Yamima, so then Miyamim Yamima would exclude any day that's not an ordinary day. Chol HaMoed would be excluded as well. If I hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, excuse me, but they hold Shabbos Zman Tefillin, that Shabbos they hold like the Shita that would say that Shabbos you actually wear tefillin altogether, and therefore you can't bring a raya. This is going not even like Rabbi Akiva, that would just say that the Shabbos you would wear tefillin altogether, so therefore you can't bring a raya. Now, I'll tell you that probably the better way to reject this this raya, that this proves that you would be allowed to wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, is that we can say that this Gemara is simply saying that when the person is writing the tefillin, he's writing the tefillin for himself for the purpose of having it ready for himself right after Yontif. It's not a proof that he's writing the tefillin to wear it on Chol HaMoed itself. It could be that we allow the person to write the tefillin, kosev tefillin la'atzmo, so he'll have it available right after Yontif. So it's not necessarily a kasha, but Tosfos assumes it's a kasha, and then Tosfos assumes that the Yerushalmi as well talks about somebody who lost tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and that the Gemara in Yerushalmi indicates that we would allow the person allow the sofer to give away his own tefillin to the person and then write tefillin for himself. It sounds like he needs to write tefillin for himself in order to wear the tefillin on Chol HaMoed itself. So it appears from the Yerushalmi that you absolutely would wear tefillin on a Chol HaMoed. So Tosfos leaves it as basically an unresolved question. He says that you could argue that Chol HaMoed is an os, and therefore you wouldn't wear tefillin. But from the Gemara Moed Katz Kotin and from the Yerushalmi, it appears that you do put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Now, the Rosh quotes the Gemara in the Bavli, and the Rosh quotes the Yerushalmi as proof that you are supposed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and presumably this would be based on the initial statement that Tosfos made, which is that if you assume that Melechus Chol HaMoed, that doing Melacha on Chol HaMoed itself is not an Issa de Araisa, so then really there is no Os on Chol HaMoed. The Os would be that there's an Issa de Araisa of doing Melacha. Chol HaMoed, there's no prohibition of doing Melacha, and therefore you'd be allowed to wear tefillin. In fact, this is the Shita of the Rosh. The Rosh explicitly holds that Melechus Chol HaMoed is only Derabanan, so the Rosh Lashitaso would say there's no Os on Chol HaMoed, and therefore you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Rashba is of the opinion that source Hey, he says, Ani sover she'eima nichin. Source Hey, the Rashba says, I hope you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Shigam heim os, because they're considered to be an os. She'ekol shemoed asim chol malacha shenim malachas over. Because the Rashba is of the opinion that on a deraisa level, you're not allowed to do malacha on Chol HaMoed if it's not a davar of it. Since it's an issa deraisa, so the Rashba says that there's really an os. And he says, I'm not worried about the. He says, Afa pishi tivu l'ktov osim le'atzim v'chol shemoed. Even though the Gemara indicates you can write tefillin for yourself on Chol HaMoed, I'm not worried about that. Why is he not worried about that? Either that sugya is going like the opinion that says that on Shabbos you can wear tefillin altogether, and therefore the same thing would be true on Chol HaMoed, or we can reinterpret that Gemara as meaning that the person is writing the tefillin for himself to have it available right after Yontif, but not necessarily to wear on Yontif itself. Now, let's go back to what the Shulchan Aruch is getting at. What is the basis of the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch when the Shulchan Aruch says the Chol HaMoed gankin also v'neir tefillin mitam hazeh b'yatzmo? Chol HaMoed, you're also not allowed to wear tefillin. So it could be that he's following the opinion of the Rashba. The Rashba says it's an os. It's an os. Chol HaMoed is an os. You're not allowed to do malacha, and therefore you don't wear Chol HaMoed. Or like the premise of Tosfos, that even if there is no issa malacha, how could it be an os even if there's no issa malacha? So Chaim Soloveitchik used to say, because the Kedusha of Pesach and Sukkot extends throughout the entire Yontif. It does even if when there's no issa malacha. The fact that you can't eat chametz, the fact that you have to eat in your sukkah, so it shows that kedusha, but Moshe Feinstein explains the kedusha is that led to an issa malacha on the first day of Pesach, on the first day of Sukkot, is that kedusha that is related to issa malacha extends throughout the entire Yontif, even on those days when there is no issa malacha. Yes?
You can shech the behema on Chol HaMoed, eat it on Chol HaMoed, but not to shech to eat afterwards. Why
Correct.
Should you allow to write tefillin to wear them after?
Because it would be a mitzvah oberis. Shkita, I don't need the food necessarily right after Yontif is over. I can eat dairy right after Yontif is over. But I need to wear tefillin. The day after Yontif is over, I need to wear tefillin. So the person knows that unless he writes the tefillin on Chol HaMoed, he's not going to have the tefillin immediately after Yontif, so it could be mutter for purposes of what we call a mitzvah oberis. He's doing this because otherwise he's going to miss the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah oberis. So you can answer that. It's a good question. I think that would be the answer to the question. Now, the Mechaber has a general shita. His general shita is that, well, how does he paskin halacha? He paskins halacha, he writes at the beginning of Beis Yosef. He looks at the Rosh, he looks at the Rambam, he looks at the Rif, and he goes along with what they all say. If they disagree, he goes along with what two of them say. So, presumably, that would be what he should follow over here. So, what does the Rosh say? So, he says, so the Rosh says that you do wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. The Rashba is not part of this calculus, so we don't have to focus on what the Rashba says. What does the Rip say? What does the Rambam say? The answer is the Rip and the Rambam say absolutely nothing whatsoever on this subject. So the Rip If you want to sort of guess at what the Rif's Shita might be, so what is the Rif's opinion with respect to Malachas Chol HaMoed? Is Malachas Chol HaMoed a deraisa, or is Malachas Chol HaMoed derabbanan according to the Rif? The Rif holds Malachas Chol HaMoed is deraisa. So the Rif could be like the Rashba, that the Rif was, maybe he didn't include this halacha because it's obvious. If you don't wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, like he paskins, you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed either. So then you got to figure out what the Rambam says in order to be the Makriya. The problem is that if you look at the Rambam, the Beis Yosef himself has two different interpretations of the Rambam in two different places in the Mishnah Torah. One in Hilchos Tefillin, and one in Hilchos Yontif. So in Hilchos Tefillin, if you take a look at the source sheets, this would be going back to source above. On Hilchos Tefillin, the Rambam writes that, take a look at the second half of the Rambam, Mechim Shabbosis, V'yavim Tovim, Einan Zman Tefillin, right? Shabbos and Yantav also not a Lashon of Osir, just as it's not a time to wear Tefillin, Shenema V'ayala Os, V'Shabbosis, V'yavim Tovim, in Atzman Os, and Shabbos and Yantav is an Os, it's considered to be Osi Li'olam, right? So says the Rambam doesn't talk about Chol HaMoed at all. So the Kesef Mishnah and that Rambam says Nechleku Aposkim B'Chol HaShemoed, says the Poskim disagree about Chol HaMoed. Yesh Mem Omim B'Chal Yom Tifem Mei Manicha Mem Tefillin. There are those who say that it's considered within Yom Tif and therefore like Yom Tif and therefore you don't wear Tefillin, right? That's the Rashba. B'Yesh Yom HaShemanicha, and some say you do wear like the Rosh. And then he says V'Chein Yireh Mitzvei Rabbeinu. It sounds to me from the Rambam that the Rambam holds what? You don't wear, you do wear. So it sounds to me like he holds you do wear. Because he says in Perek Zayin of Shvisas Yantim, Hilchos Yantim, Kosev Adam Tefillin Le'atzmo, a person can write Tefillin for himself and not for other people. What would be the difference between writing for yourself and writing for other people if neither have a use? So the difference would have to be, for other people you don't write because you're doing business, you're not supposed to do business during Chol HaMoed. For yourself you can write because you need to wear it. So it sounds like the Rambam holds that you wear Tefillin during Chol HaMoed. Then the Kesef Mishnah lends a little bit more insight into why he passed in the way he did. If he really holds that the Rambam is of the opinion you wear, and the Rif probably would go along that, and let's say the Rif held that you didn't wear, but the Rosh says that you do wear, so you have two out of the three right there. You have the Rosh and you have the Rambam. So then he should paskin that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But then he says something very interesting. He says, Uminah ga'olam ayala nichon, that it was the minah to wear tefillin, I should be made rabbanim basrai. So when the later rabbis came along, matzu, the Sefer HaZohar. They found the Sefer HaZohar. Sefer HaZohar wasn't always available. We know the Sefer HaZohar is attributed to the Tanna, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. It wasn't always in print. It was discovered in the late 1200s by Moshe de Leon, who eventually made it available to the public. And once people started to see the Sefer HaZohar, which is attributable to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, people said, oh, this has a very, very high stature. They started to think about maybe we should paskin like some of the things that are in the Sefer HaZohar. Problem is, often the Sefer HaZohar says things which are different from what otherwise was brought down in Gemara and Poskin. But for the most part, during the period of the Bishodim, we didn't have Bishodim citing from the Sefer HaZohar the paskin halachos. But then, around the time of the Beis Yosef, with his contemporary, the Radbaz, Rav David ben Zimra, you had certain rules that started being elaborated, saying, well, if we have, for example, something which doesn't have a clear resolution in our Gemara, and the Sefer HaZohar says a certain way, so then the Radbaz says, so then we follow what it says in the Sefer HaZohar. Like, for example, the Poskim argue about if a man dies without any children, he leaves a widow and he leaves a brother. So is it better to do Yibum for her to marry the brother-in-law, or Chalitza for her to be freed by the brother-in-law by her taking off a shoe from the brother-in-law and being free to marry somebody else? Which is better? So Machlokas in the Gemara, Abashal the Chachamim, which is better, Yibum or Chalitza? So the Radbaz says, since we have two different opinions, and the Rishonim also can't seem to, you know, make up their minds, which is better? So the Sefer HaZohar seems to indicate Yibum is a wonderful thing, Tikkun HaNeshama, and therefore we should do Yibum over a Chalitza. So he articulated that the Sefer HaZohar has a place in the halakhic canon when we need to resolve an issue that otherwise is unresolved, so then we follow the Sefer HaZohar. The Beis Yosef himself in his Hakdama says, I consulted with many different Svarim when I came up with my various halakhic discussions, and he cites all the different major Rishonim, the Rosh and the Rambam and the Ramban and the Mordechai, etc., etc., that he looked at in compiling his treatise. And then at the end, he adds, oh, and for mitzvahs, and for certain things, I also looked at the Sefer Azor. I also incorporated the Sefer Azor. Somebody counted, maybe there are 51 times that the Beis Yosef alludes to the Sefer Azor in his writings, and this is a major, major one of them. So Kesef Mishnah says, they discover the Sefer Azor l'shir ha-shirim, shemisha meniach tefillin b'chol ha-moed, kemisha kotzeitz b'netios. Somebody who wears tefillin during chol ha-moed, it is as if he is uprooting the plants of the divine garden. Very bad thing. And that's when they stopped wearing tefillin during chol ha-moed. He elaborates upon this in the Beis Yosef. That's in source Yud Aleph at great length. He brings the full text of the Sefer HaZohar, and the text basically says that this can be compared to a king who gives a special ring to his Eved, to his servant, for protection, and he says, oh, if you, when you wear this ring, so people will know that you are my loyal follower, and you will be protected. And the Eved says, I don't want to wear your ring, I wear my own ring. So what would the sentence be to a servant that responded that way to the king? It would be off with his head. He would be chayav misa. He would be sentenced to death. And that's what the Beis Yosef seems to say. Seems to say, you wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, b'chol ha-moed, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you his special oath, his special sign saying, look, I'm giving you this Yom Tov. This is your badge of honor, your badge of pride. You say, I don't want that. I'll wear my own tefillin instead. So then it would be a possible concern of chayav misa, according to the Sefer Azor. So therefore, when it speaks in such severe terms about what the consequence would be for wearing tefillin during Chol HaMoed, so therefore, nimnu l'nichem od b'chol HaMoed. Now this is curious, because if you look at the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam in Hilchas Yom Tov, when the Rambam wrote his halacha there, where he said, kosev adam tefillin and mezuzah, this is source best, le'atzmo, a person can write a tefillin for himself, but not for other people, unless it's necessary to make a basic living. So the Kesef Mishnah says, he says, really, the Rambam is of the opinion that you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed to b'chlal Yom Tov, because it's a Yom Tov. Therefore, there's no special head there of wearing, writing tefillin for other people more than any other malacha. Why can you write for yourself? Probably so you'll have it available for right after Yom Tov, as we had suggested before. So the Kesef Mishnah seems to be contradictory. But maybe what this indicates is that we don't have a clear majority over here. Usually when you have Rosh, Rambam, and Rif, you have two out of the three at least. You always have a tiebreaker. But here I have 1.5 versus 1.5. I have the Rosh who says you wear tefillin. I have the Rif who says Malachas Kol HaMoed is the right, says you probably don't wear tefillin. I have the Rambam who could be interpreted either way. The Beis Yosef himself goes either way in the Kesef Mishnah. So therefore, I have an impasse. What do? I follow the Sefer Zohar. If I follow the Sefer Zohar, what is the reasoning of the Sefer Zohar? It's a zilzul. It's a denigration to the king who's given his special sign for you to wear, and you refuse to wear the special sign given to you by the king. And therefore, that is something which is a terrible, terrible crime to commit. And therefore, that's why we understand why the Mechaber, when he codified this halacha, he utilized the lashon of usur. It's not just something which is superfluous, it's usur. You're not allowed to do it. So comes along the Ramah. Let's go back to source Yud Gimel. So the Ramah speaks up for all the Ashkenazim in the world. And he says, Hagah, Ramah, v'yesh omim shekol ha-moed chayev tefillin. You should know there are those who say that they call ha-moed, you do have to wear tefillin. The Ramah wasn't as concerned about the Rambam and the Rif. He was an Ashkenazi, so he's concerned about the Rosh. So he says, the Rosh says you got to wear tefillin. B'chein no'olim, that's what we do. B'chor galilos e'la anicham b'moed l'varech aleim. El Hashem Mevachim Aleim Mekoram Mesek Neses K'mos Shar Shani Mos Hashana. Says just, you know, because of the fact there's an argument to be made to not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so you put on the tefillin, don't make the bracha audibly. And the Taz says, if you're not going to make the bracha audibly, I have a better suggestion. Don't make the bracha at all. Don't make the bracha at all. Mishnah Berurah says, I have an even better suggestion. Make a tanai when you put on the tefillin. Make a tanai that says that if it's a mitzvah to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, so then I'm doing it for the mitzvah. And if it's not a mitzvah to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, so then I do not have intention to fulfill the mitzvah. And this way, you won't have to be worried about denigrating the oath of Chol HaMoed, because you're putting it on not for the sake of the mitzvah. And this way, you'll cover yourself on all bases. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's brilliant suggestion to get out of these problems. But others are not the same way.
Did you then make a bracha?
No, make a bracha. So if you follow the time, so you don't make a bracha. I think the minhag olam, of those, you could correct me, for those who wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, is for those who wear tefillin Chol HaMoed, they do not make a bracha. I think that's the general minhag. There might be some who do, but I think the general minhag is like the Taz, not to make a bracha. The Rama himself.
Most do not, some do.
Most do not. Okay, some do. Some do.
Does.
What?
Some does.
Okay. So some do. There are different traditions. The Rama himself, you know, says to make a bracha quietly. So some certainly can have that practice. And I think Ramosha defends the practice of making a bracha quietly, so that makes sense. But the Taz says, you know, don't make a bracha. But that's a side issue. And that also relates to the question of whether, if there are people with differing practices, if you don't make a bracha, so maybe that reduces the problem of losis godudu. If even when the people wear the tefillin, they're not making a bracha, and especially like the Mishnah Berurah says, you're making it tonight, then, you know, maybe it's not a mitzvah altogether. Now comes along the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon says, I'm an Ashkenazi. I think that's, you know, leis mad lepolo. The Vilna Gaon is an Ashkenazi. I'm an Ashkenazi, and I agree with the Mechaber. I agree with the Mechaber that you should not wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed, because he says there's no raya. There's no raya to indicate that you should wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. What's the raya? The Gemara Moed Katan, we pointed out that you could dismiss that raya. The Yushalmi says you could dismiss the Yushalmi as well. He claims the Yushalmi is also going according to the opinion that you would, like the Tana that says that you wear tefillin even on Shabbos. So therefore he says, I don't have any raya. Once I don't have any raya, so therefore I don't put on tefillin. So Moshe Feinstein asks the question, according to the Golden God, okay, granted there's no raya, but you still need a reason not to wear tefillin. Generally you have a mitzvah to wear tefillin every single day. So there's no raya from the Gemara. You definitely wear tefillin, but why shouldn't you wear tefillin? So he says it must be that the Vilna Gaon follows this approach, which by the way is sort of the Brisker approach as well, to say that the Kedusha that began the first day of Sukkot, the first day of Pesach, extends throughout the entire Yontif. And even when there is no Issa, even if you say that there's no Issa Malacha on a Deraisa level, since there is an Issa Malacha on the first day, so it's considered like all of the days are sort of like a continuation of that oath that emerges from the Issa Malacha of the first day. That's what he wants to argue within the Vilna Gaon. He says the Vilna Gaon is not based on the Zohar. The Vilna Gaon is not based on the Zohar. It always says, if you take a look at the Vilna Gaon doesn't quote the Zohar. So is that true? If you take a look at the Vilna Gaon, there's a long Vilna Gaon with lots of Roshi Tevis, we're not going to go through it, in Source Yud Zayin, where it, in fact, it appears to be the case that the Vilna Gaon does not quote the Zohar at all. However, if you take a look at the Vilna Gaon on the very first sip, that's the Vilna Gaon on the second sip of Siman Yud Gimel. But there's also a Vilna Gaon on the first sip, that's Source Yud Tes. So when the Mechaber said it's usher to wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yontif, and then in the second sip he added, oh, and by the way, the same is true with respect to Chol HaMoed for the same reason. So says the Gra, Loshon Mechaber, Umidivre Medrash HaNelamu. And this is from the Medrash HaNelam. What's the Medrash HaNelam? That's the Medrash HaNelam of Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai and Shir Shirim. That's the Medrash from the Zohar. So the Vilna Gaon explicitly quotes the Zohar, and was not ignorant of the Zohar. You could say that despite the fact that the Mechaber, that the Vilna Gaon is telling you that the Mechaber paskin not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed based on the Zohar, the Vilna Gaon is saying you don't need to base yourself on the Zohar per se, because you can base yourself simply based on the Sugyas of Gemara. From the Sugyas of Gemara, there is no proof that you should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and therefore you go back to the assumption that it's simply an os. It's simply a sign, just like the first day of Shabbos, the first day of Pesach, the first day of Sukkot, first days, that the rest of the Chol HaMoed as well would also be included in that oath, and that's why you shouldn't wear tefillin during Chol HaMoed. So what then is somebody supposed to take away from all of this? What you take away from this is that there is a sensitivity that developed in the halacha based on the Zohar that speaks so harshly of somebody who wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed. If not for that Zohar, then the Mechaber probably would have been tilted in the direction of the Rosh, especially since he seems to be tilted, at least in one place, in his commentary on the Rambam, to say that the Rambam held as well that you would have to wear tefillin on a Chol HaMoed, because it's a little bit of a suffix, so the Zohar works, the Zohar wins out in this case. But not everybody was so excited about the Zohar deciding disputes for us. If you take a look at the Shut Marashal in Source 16, so he says that Vidah, Shekor Rabosai Rabosai Akadoshim, this is in the bold, Sheshim Shugoni Alam Bisamem Shlonadu Kach, he's talking about a separate inyan of the Zohar says when you put on your shel yad, you should do it sitting down. El Kedive says, my Rabbanim did not follow that. But Ima Hayyav Arishim Ben Yochai Omei Lefaneinu says, what is the mind of the Zohar? The mind of the Zohar is that it was authored by Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai is just one Tana. There are other Tanaim too. Some of the Mishkanos Yaakov says Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai was probably of the opinion, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that Miyamim Yamimu is how we derive that you don't have to fill in on Shabbos and Yantiv, and therefore the same would be true of Kol HaMoed as well. We don't know like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So he said, we hold like Rabbi Akiva. So he says that even if Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai would stand in front of us with Sarveach and he would scream, L'shanos haminim to change our minhagim, shenagu ha-kanmonim lo ha-shkafinim bek, he wrote Rabbeinu Halacha Kemoso. Who says we should pass like the Zohar? Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai is the author of the Zohar, just one Tana. In most cases, we don't pass like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai. When he argues with the other Tanaim, we pass like the other Tanaim. Why should we pass like Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai so much more? Just because it happens to be a Zohar. And then skip a few lines. You know what else Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said? Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said that if you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, you chayim misa. But we put on tefillin and we make a lamb. Marshal said, we put on the, we make a bracha, right? Okay, we make a bracha on the tefillin. They already had the practice in the days of the Marshal that within Eretz Yisrael, they did not put on tefillin at all. But he says, the fisha, that's only because the Rashba held that you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed because he held that it was an oath because it's asur b'malacha. And not based on the words of the Zohar. So therefore he's not as excited about the fact that the Zohar said Yochayim Misa. Okay, that's one opinion, but that does not overwhelm everything else. It's a big dispute and discussion among early Akronim, later Akronim, posthumous Mizman, is that how much weight you give to the Zohar altogether. I saw an essay by Rav Asher Weiss on this subject. Rav Asher Weiss says, yeah, it's true. There are a number of halakos that are brought down that we do something one way or another because it happens to be brought in the Zohar with Mekadei Shvit Tabas, where the Levim wash the hands of the Kohanim, etc., all kinds of different things that are based on the Zohar. But he said that if you look by and large, they are very few and far between. And the Shevet HaLevi, Shmuel Vosner said, it's not based necessarily so much on this awesome power of the Zohar, that sometimes the Zohar is reflective of minhagim that have been adopted over the years, but not necessarily that this is based on a superseding of the halakhic literature, that there are certain minhagim that we base ourselves according to what it happens to say in the Zohar. And others say, you have to be very, very careful about the Zohar and paskening based on the Zohar because not everybody understands the Zohar. How many of you have said that and really shtagged over a Zohar? How many people says, you need the Pidei Segula? It's only very, very few who can really fully fathom what it is that the Zohar is getting at when it comes to all kinds of different halakos. This has a nafka mina as well in terms of whether we view fundamentally this whole discussion regarding whether or not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed as a halakhic discussion in terms of do we define Chol HaMoed as an os or do we not define Chol HaMoed as an os? The Prima Govan, for example, in Siman Lamed Aleph says it all boils down to one thing. It boils down to the question of whether the issa malacha on Chol HaMoed is a deraisa or a derabbanan. If you hold, then it's an issa deraisa, so then there would be an os on Chol HaMoed and you shouldn't wear tefillin. If you hold there's only an issa derabbanan, so they're like the Rosh, so then there is no os, and then you should wear a tefillin during Chol HaMoed. It's not based on the Zohar, whether you incorporate the Zohar, or whether you don't incorporate the Zohar, it's simply a halachic discussion. In fact, somebody asked the Imre Yoshe, yes, or Meir Arik, they said, maybe it should depend on whether somebody goes to work or not. If they go to work, so then maybe then they should put on tefillin. If they don't go to work, so maybe they shouldn't put on tefillin. So Meir Arik said, whether the person's an Avrayan or not has nothing to do with the discussion. If he has a head to go to work, if he doesn't have a head to go to work, he shouldn't be going to work. It has nothing to do with wearing a tefillin. Wearing a tefillin depends on what the objective halacha is. Are you allowed to do work? You're not allowed to do work. Is it a nisid d'oraisa? Is it a nisid d'rabbanan? The Shaul HaMeishiv said, however, that if somebody is steiging and learning, like they're supposed to be doing all of Kol HaMoed, and injecting Kol HaMoed with a requisite Kedusha, with a requisite holiness, by spending all their time learning Torah, oh, such a person doesn't wear tefillin. But anybody else, I'm not giving their heads to. And the Divrei Chaim Sanz said that it's really in the realm of Mili de Chasidusa. Now wearing tefillin Kol HaMoed is like Mili de Chasidusa, that you feel you're in such an exalted realm that you take into account what the Zohar says. So he said that's not for bachur. He says, so for the married men who are more advanced, that maybe, you know, they're approaching 40, they could, you know, start learning Zohar a little bit. So they could not wear tefillin up Kol HaMoed. But the bachur, he said, I always made the bachur wear tefillin up Kol HaMoed. But it's very interesting approaches, depending on whether you view it as something which is essentially Kabbalistic in nature or something which is essentially halakhic in nature. I'll give you two other possible nafkaminas of how you would approach this issue based on that perspective. So we mentioned that the other big concern is this losis godudu. What happened to achdus? You go to shul, some people are wearing, some people are not wearing, some people are worried about being struck down by lightning, some people are not. I heard an anecdote from a Michal Twersky from Milwaukee, who is apparently an advocate of wearing tefillin on Kol HaMoed, and he said that somebody asked him, somebody came to Michal Twersky and asked, what should he do? So he said that it's according to the Zohar, if you put on tefillin on Kol HaMoed, so then you deserve to be in Gehinnom. On the other hand, if you do put on tefillin on Kol HaMoed, and you end up in Gehinnom, you'll be in very good company. So we seem to have, you know, this dialectical tension where everybody is kind of doing this together, despite the extreme different positions. So how can you justify this losis godudu? So there are a few approaches, but based on this discussion, I'd like to suggest maybe another approach. One approach is that you only have the issa of losis godudu when you're telling people what to do. If you have within one city, if you have within one shul, that you have one rav who's telling people you should wear tefillin, then I have another rav, the assistant rabbi, saying, don't wear tefillin. That's losis godudu. When the people are just doing it on their own, it's not that you have different rabbanim or giving different horos, so then that's not a problem of losis godudu. Ramosha suggests that. Ramosha also suggests that the Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Yudal, it says, you don't have a problem of losis godudu when you have shtei bati din be'er echad. If I have two different legitimate rabbinical courts in one city, like take New York. New York has many legitimate rabbinical courts. So then you never have a problem of losis godudu if people do different things, because you're not defying the one bezin in the city. It's not like the one bezin in the city possibly you should do one thing, and then people are doing different things. No, there are two different bati din. So he says that every one of our shuls, like people are coming from different communities in Europe where they did different things, so they're coming from communities where they're different bati din, and therefore it's always considered to be, says certainly from Manhattan and Brooklyn, it's always, he didn't speak about Chicago, it's always considered to be shnei bati din in b'ir echad. It's always considered to be like you have multiple traditions from different bati din in the same city. A third explanation that we mentioned earlier is that maybe there's no losis godudu. Some people are not wearing tefillin, some people are wearing tefillin, but even people who are wearing tefillin are not making a bracha, they're making the bracha very quietly. I don't know, it's not as if, like, most days I show up to shul, everyone who makes a bracha on the tefillin is saying it so loudly, so I'm not sure exactly what to make of that explanation, but, you know, that's another one which is raised. They also say that if the minhag would otherwise be the people wear tefillin, so it's never losis godudu not to wear tefillin, because maybe the person who's not wearing tefillin is just helping make a minyan, maybe he's just sitting there to catch up on some psukei d'zimra that he forgot early in the day, but he already put on tefillin, maybe he has a stomachache, so he's not able to wear tefillin. It would be more a problem in the other direction if you had a place where basically the minhag was not to wear tefillin, like Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you really could get stoned if you put on tefillin, you know, in front of everybody, because nobody in Eretz Yisrael, not the Ashkenazim, will follow the grah. In Eretz Yisrael, and otherwise the practice was established by early settlers who aspired them in Eretz Yisrael. So the minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that in most Yishuv is that they don't wear tefillin. And if you wanted to wear tefillin in Eretz Yisrael, then you would do a pitzina within your own house and you would close the shutters so nobody's watching. But otherwise, you know, it's not done. So that's another explanation. We can finally say, based on this discussion, another explanation as well. The Maharshtam mentions in one place that when we're dealing with losis gogidu, it's generally when something is based on minhag. But if there is an inyan of halacha, where there are legitimate different opinions that pass in different ways, and maybe this is also taking into account what Moshe said about based by the Iren Bir Echad, so then you don't have the same concern about losis gogidu. So if we understand that fundamentally the extent to which we incorporate the Zohar into halacha is just based on maybe halakhic rules, like the rabbis that articulated the Mishnah Berurah also brings this in one place, where I don't have a clear bottom line among the poskim whether to pass them one way or another way, so then the Zohar can serve as a machriya, but not that we necessarily are adopting the Zohar in terms of our fear that somebody puts on tefillin is chayav misa. We are fundamentally, we're following a halakhic process over here. What is the proper interpretation of the sugyos in terms of, is there an os, is there not an os? How do you interpret the Gemara Mo'i Katan? How do you interpret the Yerushalmi Mo'i Katan? How do you put it all together? It's really fundamentally a halakhic analysis. So then, as long as you know that there are legitimate opinions that everybody is relying upon, so then there would not be any concern regarding losis godudu. This also relates to another question, which is as follows. Let's say your father did one way, and now you're considering doing a different way. Your father wore tefillin. Your father didn't wear tefillin. Now you say your father wore tefillin, but then you think it's kind of cool not to wear tefillin. That most of your friends aren't wearing tefillin. Your rebbeim tell you that it's better not to wear tefillin. Beis Halevi wore tefillin on Chol HaMoed, but his son Chaim Soloveitchik held he don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So it seems like certainly within the Soloveitchik family, the Friskers, they didn't feel you have to follow what your father says. The Aruch HaShulchan says, when it comes to tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so you should do what it is that your parents that tell you to, what your parents do, you follow that minhag. On the other hand, there are other rabbanim, including I heard this from Rav Schechter, who say that no, you don't necessarily have to follow whatever it is that your father and your grandfather did. So what is this nekuda taloy upon? So I think that this nekuda is also very possibly taloy upon the same point. The Beis Yitzchak, the Shilas Tshuva's Beis Yitzchak says in one place that when it comes to the prohibition of altitosh, that you're not supposed to go against the traditions of your ancestors. So he says that this is only applicable to matters of minhag. You have a minhag. You come from a family, it's a Sephardi family, they eat kidneys. You come from an Ashkenazi family, they don't eat kidneys. You have minhagim that are in your family, you follow one way, you follow another way. You stood for kiddush, you stood for kiddush, whatever, you have a minhag. So when it comes to minhagim, so then you're supposed to follow whatever it is that your family did, at least when it comes to minhagim that relate to the family unit. But he says that when I have a machlokis haposkim, so then that's not dependent upon minhag per se. A machlokis haposkim is dependent upon what it is that your father's rebbe paskin for your father to do. And if your father's not your Rebbe Mufak, you have a different Rebbe Mufak, so you can pass it according to what your Rebbe tells you to do. So if we understand that fundamentally the machlokis over here is within the realm of halacha, as opposed to within the realm of Kabbalah, so maybe then that would be more, I'm making a suggestion, I disagree, maybe then that would be more of a basis for saying that you're not necessarily bound to do that which your father and your grandfather did, but maybe it's just based on whatever halakhic conclusion your Rebbe comes to. On the other hand, if it's something which is more Kabbalistic in nature, then you can say, okay, that's more in the realm of minhag. If it's going to be more in the realm of minhag, so then you should follow what it is that whatever your father did, that you should do as well. As a caveat, if any of my sons, one of whom is sitting here right now, would decide to do differently from what I do, I would not be happy about it. But I'm just telling you, in the abstract, that this is from the standpoint of blunders, maybe this is, you know, one possible way of looking at the different sides to the dispute. So it also relates, this whole dispute, to the question of our tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, for example, are they considered to be klisha malachta le'isser, or are they considered to be klisha malachta le'heter? If I understand that there's a real bona fide iser involved, like the Mechaber says, so then there's more of a svara to say that it's klisha malakta le iser, and if your tefillin were in a place where they might get damaged or the sun is beating down on them or something like that, you wouldn't be allowed to move them. But if I hold that fundamentally there is no iser involved, even on those days that you're not allowed to wear the tefillin, it's just really potent. It's basically premised upon the notion of I don't need an extra os, but I could wear it for other purposes, like the Ramah seems to say. So then it would follow that I would fundamentally view tefillin as klisha malakta leheter, and that's in fact how the Ramah paskins. The Ramah paskins that tefillin are klisha malakta leheter, and therefore if they're in danger of being damaged, you are allowed to move them. And even though the Taz and the Mamin of Ram disagree with the Ramah because they say, look at the Mechaber, he says, aser, 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 they point out that b'diavad you could be makel on this issue because the Vilna God himself was makel regarding this issue in Siman Lamed Aleph. And it's probably because the Vilna Gaon was approaching this not from an Asa perspective, even though he quoted the Zohar, but he was approaching it more from a halakhic perspective, in which case you don't have the same lashon of Isser or concern of Isser. How do we paskin with respect to the question that was discussed in the Gemara's the Gemara Moed Katan regarding the writing of the tefillin? So there, we paskin that the person can write the tefillin for themselves. The Mechaber paskins that way. How can the Mechaber paskin that way? It has to be that the Mechaber is holding that you can write for yourself because of the mitzvah of Beres, so you'll have the tefillin available immediately afterwards, but you shouldn't write for other people unless it's for parnasa purposes. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Levush saying that how you apply that ruling will depend on whether you paskin like the Mechaber and the Ramah. If you paskin like the Mechaber, that you fundamentally are not allowed to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, then you'd only be allowed to write for other people in order to make a living to buy basic necessities. But if you paskin like the Ramah, that anybody can wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, everyone should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so then you can write tefillin for other people, even for purposes of havacha, even for purposes of getting extra money to buy, you know, extra treats and extra delicacies that are not strictly absolutely necessary for your survival. You could be more makel based on following that approach. So those are all the different nafkaminas. The bottom line is that we need to appreciate that Kabbalah, while it's a very important part of our tradition, and you know, ignore it or belittle it at your own peril. And I don't think any of us would do that. I don't pretend to be expert in matters of Kabbalah, but I think we have to take Kabbalah very, very seriously. But it does not exist independent of halakha, and halakha is also not devoid of Kabbalah content. The halakha and the Kabbalah need to not collide, but to be synchronized and harmonized, and maybe when we have everybody davening together, a Chol HaMoed, these doing this way and these doing that way, that's our way of showing the synchronization of halakha and Kabbalah, how we can incorporate everything into our tradition according to the ways of the Torah.
Tuesday night.
Anyone who does not want to eat them in the front, they put them in the closet.
As a shoe, we don't need a mechitzah. But as a fried shoe, it's better to have a mechitzah.
Okay.
Like you do. Like you see, normally, shtibbles have a mechitzah.